Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Uranus Happens Show live here on Blog Talk Radio, powered by eAstrologer.tv. I'm Ernesto. I'm your host. I'll be with you here for the next 2 hours, and I'm here with Veretta, both the Masters of Metaphysics, to talk about life, the universe, and everything. We'll be taking everybody's calls in just a few moments. But Veretta, are you on the line with me right now? Can you hear me?
I can. I am here.
Perfect. All right. So I was thinking about our last show. I had an issue over the past few days that kind of came up. Our caller, our subscriber, Amala, who was in a relationship type of question that she wasn't really too sure about how to handle confusing communications. And I sort of ran with that because one of the things that I've sort of been learning recently that's an odd concept that I didn't even know is that no means no. Like, that's odd. You know, like, I understand that we have like the whole Harvey Weinstein thing that happened in the world. So maybe that's why people have put up those hard lines, but it seems to be an unspoken rule in interpersonal communication that if somebody tells you no, that they don't want to do that or they don't want to talk to you, immediately you go onto like a block list and they don't, and that's it. And they just ghost you after that. So anything you say, it just goes to like a dead letter box. It's kind of frustrating and somewhat disturbing that people can't be so upfront to just end the connection, to sever it and to say those exact words. Sorry, I don't think we're a good fit. I don't think this is working out. Maybe we should break things off. You know, but people seem to think that we don't have to, you know, break off a friendship, but well, really we do, because people who have not great social skills like me go out there and go into basically sociopath mode and we start doing all kinds of crazy things. I mean, it is truly the inefficiencies of our own interpersonal communications that causes psychopaths and stalkers out in the world, because you are unable to cut off a tie and let somebody know up front, this is what went wrong. This is how you hurt my feelings. That is the exact reason why we have so many crazy stalkers out in the world that do evil things. And that was something that I've been kind of wrestling with this week, is that so when somebody tells you no, that they don't want to do that, then you just kind of have to cut it off. I would always engage in the back and forth, and you know, like that ego death, you know, it's sort of like when you spray a bug with some poison, like a spray, and it, you know, does that dance as before it, you know, finally runs out of life. That's sort of what it's like, you know, in online communication, where you get into those chats and those emails or those fights with people that, you know, going back and forth about, you know, your hurt ego and that whole process. But all of that can be avoided. And apparently now you just have to squash the bug and walk away. And that's it.
Yeah. Well, and it's definitely perspective when you're looking at the different types of people, you know, you deal with every day. There's something you can learn if you want to open up and let yourself look at it in that manner, and that's a good thing that you can see it clearly for what it is. And then if you choose to make it different, change.
Well, and here's something where it gets interesting, is that I've also begun to realize that there is such a thing as toxic positivity, that's a real thing that people suffer from. I'm probably one of them. And so when you have something like that, then somebody else's response, when you tell somebody, I really don't think we should, you know, work together anymore. I don't, especially people who work in spirituality, right? You tell them that I don't want to work with you because I don't think we're a good fit, or you handle the situation badly. And their response is to say, well, you know, really, you know, Ernesto, that maybe you're just afraid of letting other people inside. So that's why you always have to push them away and cut them off. That is toxic positivity. That's me saying, I do not want to work with you anymore. And after I've already put up that hard wall of don't contact me anymore, this isn't a good fit, you come back with, you know, I really think that you're just afraid of people and that's why you push them away. That is absolutely toxic positivity. And that's when I show people the bridge, because it's like, that's so dangerous to get into that type of mentality, that you cannot accept no. That that's how we end up with like the Harvey Weinsteins in the world.
Mm-hmm. And I think people do have a shortcoming in the communication level of helping themselves, where telling people when, you know, if there are issues, and if that's where you're at and there are concerns, then you have to be able to say, okay, no, this is not working for me, like you're saying. But you also have to hear the feedback that will validate to you why it isn't working. So when you hear someone say to you, well, maybe you just don't want to let people in, they may hurt you, that That's gaslighting. That is 100% manipulative in its tactic. That's not positive. It's not positive at all. It's definitely toxic. But you're also dealing with someone else that has used to manipulate that aspect of verbiage so they can get their zingers in there and they're felt and they are heard, and then they can walk away, or they exit feeling like they were the victim. So, you know, when it comes to people being first, we have so many categorizations of personality where people are concerned that we'll either let the victimization continue happening, feeling like, well, you know, I need to give this time and then it may work. And if I sacrifice and if I struggle, then this person's going to listen to me and it'll be all right in the end. And the reality of it is if don't succeed, stop trying. In that aspect, that individual is not going to change, nor are they going to learn within your proximity how to treat you. If they've treated you bad already at the very beginning in the offset, then that's where we have to learn, like you're saying, to pull the plug, to be done with it and know that there are other things that we can keep going on or with or toward that will benefit, if not us, other persons. And that we're not in a position of feeling like a sociopath because we're not having our needs met and we're absolutely melting down all over everything due to it. But
for so many people,
yeah.
For so many people, they're stuck in, you know, like these really toxic, difficult situations, you know, like those people, those spouses, those marriage, those relationship partners that are extremely difficult to love, we'll say. And they're like those two-faced that we never really know who we're getting on any given day. It almost begins to raise the question, why does God create psychopaths for people to settle down with? And much worse, you know, when you're enduring that lifestyle of abuse or perhaps imprisonment where you're unable to even get out of your own house or to talk to your friends or family, how the heck do you draw up the courage to be able to draw that line and to just walk away when people are, even when you realize that that there's red flags, that this is only going to end in tragedy, you're so afraid of, you know, whoever your captor or avatar is, how the heck do you get yourself out of that situation as opposed to just doing it? Because that in and of itself is just too scary of a concept to deal with.
Right. And there, you know, then you bring up mental illness and you bring up personality traits and disorders and everything that goes right along with the difficulties that it would be to take care of ourselves, including not allow other people to hurt us. And reality is that it takes all these personalities to learn from. God didn't necessarily set us up with these type of behavior issues. However, he did set us up with the ability to learn through emotion. So if we go sideways with it, we can't blame God. We've got to take responsibility and either admit that we need help and then get it, or figure out how it is we're going to do something that's going to make life better and we're not going to be alone or, taken for granted because people are taking shots at us. So it's interesting, though, when you look at the types of personalities. In late, there have been so many more titles, if you will, diagnosis, that pretty much sum up the same thing, and they've microfilleted it right on down because of the types of personalities and the disorders and the amount of people in this world. We have to remember that it takes all kinds, and that's why we're here. We're here to learn in this dimension, in this density, through the variety of emotion, through the variety of dealing with people and looking at ourselves. And we should be looking at ourselves first before we're pointing fingers at everybody else. But again, that's not the society that we were that is apparently taking control and we were raised with. So it's interesting to see what all this awareness, like you're quoting Harvey Weinstein, it's interesting to see all these awareness into reality and the damage that it's taken and the changes that society has taken in their viewpoint of these things and the Me Too movement and everything else of recent, not 100 years ago but or 50 years ago, but now, that is seeming to be the new norm and the reality of what we're looking at. And it is, we do think of ourselves in this first person in a manner before we think of anything else or anybody else. And that in lies the struggle, because if we thought a little bit about others and what they were going through, we would probably be less quick to judge and able to release a whole lot of grudge and animosity that is created when we get our panties in a bunch because somebody wasn't sensitive to our needs. And reality is those people that aren't sensitive to our needs have just as many needs as we do and are as possibly broken as we are, but they don't want to know it, and they're not willing to make a difference about it. So they're not going to see them as a bully. They're not going to see themselves as a person that is being wrong to those that are struggling. But when our communication is taught at a young level, to be able to recognize what we can and can't endure, what we have to and what we don't have to put up with, that's when, like a lot of things, that's when society struggle with getting points across will be less severe. Because from a ground level up, we'll realize children are taught to endure and taught how to impose their ugliness all over when they're not listened to and when they're not given opportunity to communicate appropriately.
Well, so, you know, you make the case about how we feel these feelings of hostility, of anger. We possibly even have a grudge when our needs aren't met or taken care of, or possibly, you know, someone stomps on our feelings. And a mm-hmm. lot of that usually happens because, you know, people just aren't upfront about their needs or wants. Well, case in point, consumerism. Go to literally any retail store and purchase something, you know, make a big purchase of over $1,000. There is like an 85% chance you will get screwed over, that what you purchase is not what you're looking for, because the salesperson is going to dodge and deflect and avoid all of your questions and concerns. And then because you don't even really know what you're looking for, you can't really state those words up front. So then you get talked into buying something, and then you get really mad and upset by the fact that that you're not being paid attention to. So it creates this issue to where you're then afraid to spend money just because you think, well, if I'm going to go and buy this, it's not going to be what I want. It's just going to create disappointment and unhappiness. So why am I even going to bother with it? It's really unfortunate as somebody who used to work in the retail space that, you know, consumers, they're just kind of left to their own. They're their own devices. And employees anymore aren't taught to be helpful because we're just paid hourly. And we have that whole anti-work mentality of, why the heck should I even try to help you if the company doesn't even care about you themselves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So it's a difficult field to be stuck into these days.
Yeah, it sure is. And now with all the struggle, you know, it used to be that was an easy job. And I'm to the point now to where, to me, when I used to think about the things way back in the day, the things that I could do to be useful, I never would dawn on me to do retail, because I didn't want to deal with the people that were coming in with the mentalities that they came in with. And, you know, for, like you said, that basically bare minimum wage of a dollar and being treated like crap because people don't have any kind of appreciation these days. So I hear you. I hear
you. Well, I mean, you know, I'm actually really glad that you never worked in the retail space, because the ignorance is staggering. Like, it is truly shocking.
I did work there. I did work for a while in the retail space. That's why I got to the point of understanding, I don't want to be here. I do not want to be here. And I did it as a part-time thing.
It is an absolute shock when you realize how broken and screwed up and, more importantly, how stupid people are. And you just kind of learn, like, okay, so this is really why people slip through the cracks, is our education system isn't that great, and it creates some red flags and makes you worry about the future that nobody can really do anything. It's sad even when you go to, like, the grocery store, that most of the checkers can't even count change without a machine anymore.
Yeah, right. That's one of the things that that's when I work retail, is when you counted the change back to someone, your machine didn't tell you what it needed to, you know, what it needed to be. I realize now that, and it was really kind of easy though, coming up, watching things change. And where I noticed was in fast food, where they made the, you know, the cash registers basically a picture. Or from what I could see, was you've seen a picture of what it was the food was, and that's the picture, that's the button that you pushed. There really wasn't any more to it other than a visual and tangible connection, and no knowledge really had to be applied, just a literal memorizing of the keys, and there was no commercial technique applied. It was just a job, and that's all it is now for a lot of people in the retail, is just a job. So I get that there needs to be a place for people to work like that. I get that there needs to be a way for people to that are maybe a little bit limited or struggling to make ends meet, to work. I get it. I get that that's a necessity. But hey, folks, how about let's look at why people are like that. And that's a, you know, that's an old song that's been sung for a long time, and that is, this education isn't really what it could be in this country. And I'm not knocking the teachers. The teachers are working with what they have. I'm knocking the system itself, and knowing that there are so many things that should be done at the school age level to teach us as future adults to be productive and conscientious and learn the word consideration and how that applies to the humanity of us. That's what it is. Everybody has a place in this world. So I guess for us, it's looking at the deficits and seeing sometimes how it really needs to be fixed and what life could be like if it was better.
And at the end of the day, at the end of the day, you know, it's really just down to us, you and me. We're really the ones who are in charge here of whatever may happen in the future. So it's kind of like, if I struggle with literacy and I know that I have difficulty reading books, yet I want to go to junior college, maybe I should take some classes and hooked on phonics, or, you know, like learning how to reading comprehension, as opposed to ignoring this. You know, like, it's, again, it all comes down to, do I want to do the work and take the plunge and do all of these really uncomfortable things that I've been avoiding, but now I have to force myself and run to them. Well, it really does make a difference, and it only gets harder the longer we push it off. So, I mean, why not now? When I used to work in the mental healthcare field, you know, the big question that we would always ask people was, you know, like, I know I should lose weight. I know I should quit doing meth. I know that I should, you know, dot, 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 whatever they think that they need to be doing. Then the question becomes is, if not now, then when? Like, truly, what's holding you back? So just take the plunge, just do it. Because, you know, like, I it's like smoking. I thought about quitting smoking a long, long time ago. And then when I finally decided to quit smoking 13 years later, it wasn't bad, but it probably would have been a lot easier if I had done it when I had first thought about it way back when. So, you know, and same thing, you know, with like losing weight, you know, the more that we say, I need to go to the gym, I need to lose weight, I need to look good, whatever reason it is. And then yet we're still hitting up the drive-through two or three times a week and we're packing on the pounds. By the time, you know, the scale is pushing 5 bills, then yeah, we're probably kicking ourselves in the groin, wishing, I really wish I would have tried to take care of this before it got a lot harder, as opposed to what it is now.
Yeah, most definitely. It doesn't get any easier the older you get.
So we're going to get off to our phone lines here and take some phone calls. Looks like we have Deep, who's calling in from Skype, and from everybody else who's watching on YouTube or on Facebook, be sure to give us a call here live on the show. We are here at area code 563-999-3070. We'll be here until 2 o'clock Arizona or Mountain Standard Time. So let's get off to the phones here. Hello, you're on the Uranus Happen Show. Is this Deep? Hello?
Yes, it is Deep, yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. All right. I got your chart here. Now, Deep, do you have a would you like a general reading or do you have a question about an issue today?
I had called about 3 months back with regards to my finances. And there are different investments which I had made with borrowed money from the bank and from different companies which aren't doing well, and it is going down even more. So I wanted kind of a general understanding of how things will be over the next few months and a year or two kind of prognosis in terms of whether I will be able to keep my house, for example, when I have to remortgage in a year and a half. Will my investments recover in a year and a half or sooner or later?
All right, sure. So just a general overlook of your finances, right?
Sure, thank you.
Perfect. All right, Rheta, what you got?
Okay, Deep. I think, so part of what you're talking about, I don't remember what was said. I do feel the tie into the energy, and it feels to me that whatever was said is playing out, and that there may be, and I get how you, I feel you, man. I feel that you're pretty concerned at this point in light of where you're at and what life's all about. So I would say in what I'm feeling that you need to be just a little bit more patient, not that you're not, just a little bit longer. And I feel like I want to say you'll start to see some kind of something turn around here in the next couple months. And I don't know why I want to say in the next 5 months. So we're October, November, December, January, February, March. Something gives you the opportunity to, I guess I want to say bail out or I don't know what words to use other than get your money that you would say, that you would think that you, okay, so this is what I'm getting. So I was getting pictures, and I'm trying to explain as I see, and I'm not saying what I'm seeing well. So this is what I just saw. It will get to the point to where somehow, in a way, you're going to be given an opportunity, and you can breathe. At that moment, you can breathe, and it's very clear to you what you want to do. So whether that's take that money out of something or take it back, I'm not sure. But it feels to me like that gives you like ground zero, like you're broke even. You're at that moment simultaneously continuing to live off the credit, but you're not in debt anymore. So I'm not sure what that means.
I understand.
Oh, good, because okay. I'm clueless. And I feel like October, November, December. So the next two and a half, three months, you're still going to see it feeling like it's plummeting, you know, and the spiral is just taking you right down the drain. But you'll very shortly after that, the first of the year then, I guess, is where I see the uptick starts that gives you a little more of a clean feeling, a little less like you messed up or there was something that you missed or there was something else that had to have happened and you didn't. So I feel like you've got a lot of questions in your brain based on what you're seeing, but they're what ifs. Don't spin your wheels on what ifs. Let's see what Ernesto has to say, and hopefully that'll give you a little bit more distinction.
Yeah.
So Ernesto,
it does. Do you see me being able to keep my house when I have to remortgage in the next year and a half?
You're not going to lose your house. You're not going to lose your house.
Okay. And
you're
the mortgage I'll have to pay, the mortgage will be realistic with the interest rate that has gone up astronomically.
In the next year and a half?
Yeah, February 24.
I kind of want to say that there'll be an opportunity then for you to decide how you're going to, I want to say, approach something. So whether that's mortgage refi or marketing your house, I don't know, but you're not losing it. Okay. You're not losing
Understood.
It. So let's see what Ernesto has to say, and maybe he can give you a little bit better.
Thank you.
Okay,
Thank
Deep.
You.
So taking a look at this one here for you to see what's going on, I asked two separate questions. If you're watching our YouTube stream, you'll see that on the first ring, which is lower, we'll start with this one here. That's going to be at 63 degrees and 24 minutes. If we look at that one, this is a question about just your general finances. Sort of what's that looking like? You'll see that that red pointer head also is making contact with this other green arrow or this other green dot over here. I'll draw this. So you see that those are basically the same question. The second question that I'm asking on that higher piece of information, that has to do more with the real estate, you know, the question about the house and looking at those things. So when we compare the two to see what's going on, we see that they're basically the same question in your life right now. So what's happening as far as your finances are concerned is this is a year where you're really going to be struggling, you know, like it's going to be very tight. It's not looking great. You're really worried about what's going to be coming down the turnpike in the future. You're not really too sure how that's going to turn out and or if this is going to be damaging. I will say that it will get better, but a lot of that is just being made worse by the fact that at least for this year's sake, that you have this Jupiter out here in the transits on that black arrow, or on this black arrow that I'll be drawing, and that has to do, that's going to be in retrograde coming up in like the next month or so. So this is going to bring some difficulties as far as that money is concerned. And once it gets to about that point there, which will be around the first of the year, we'll say, then that's going to be where you're really going to start to feel some extreme tightness. But once Jupiter goes back into direct motion again, then you're going to start to notice that it's business as usual. Things are picking up in the way that you like to see. So this is just like I don't know how long this particular problem or issue has been going on for you, but what we're going through right now, at least, is sort of like the last home stretch of this difficult issue. So this too shall pass. It will go away. Give it a little bit of time, but you're really gonna, what I'm going to tell you though is that you're going to have some serious conversations with yourself about what corners you're willing to cut in order to keep the property that you're in. Because I feel like that if there's any type of recklessness that's involved with your finances, you know, anything that's above and beyond, you know, your normal everyday necessities, then that's going to create a rift, and that's going to be when you're going to have conversations about, should I walk away from this property because I don't know if I could keep it up because I just didn't handle this where I'm at right now very well. And then the other thing too that I want to mention is the fact that is there writing on the walls in your job position currently that there may be a reduction of work hours in the near future?
That's a separate thing. I work for short-term contracts, and my current work contract runs out in November, so I don't know whether I'll have something after November or not, whether with the same client or with a different client.
Well, that's something else that I want to bring up here with you is the fact that is your work situation. And the reason I say this is that Mars out there in the transit, that's going to be going into retrograde on the 30th or the 31st of this month. So when that happens, that's also going to bring some difficulties with your work situation. So and because you've got that Neptune out there also by transit, and Neptune is a planet that's pretty damaging when it comes to money situations, like this planet, when it combines with Jupiter, that it can create like bleeding out the sides, that unexpected expenses that you weren't seeing. So the fact that you've got Neptune and Mars together out in the transit at this axis point in your chart, it indicates to me that, you know, you really might want to think about looking for another position or doing something else in your work, just because the position that you're in may not provide the bread and butter for the livelihood that you would like to have, that you may find that they're going to say, oh, well, we're still going to keep you around, but we have to cut your hours by 30% because this is all the contract is offering us right now until they get those terms squared away. I do think that work situation will pick up, but as far as like you are concerned, Deep, I'd say that you really might want to think about looking into a new position. That is a separate valuation, but if that's something that you've at all been thinking about, you know, then definitely start taking steps in that direction. Brett, do you have anything else to add to that real quick about the career issue?
No, it plays into what I saw. So he'll have, there'll be opportunity. What you're saying plays into it too, definitely the financial stability. He'll have opportunity.
Well, in the
new
year, in the January, in January, will it be better? Will the retrograde go away?
Yeah, everything will really start to improve about January. So give it some time. This year it's really going to be a crunch and a squeeze for you, especially on your pocketbook. But, you know, you want to be – you really stay afloat from everything that's going on and pay attention to those red flags, because you'll start to see the writing on the wall once it hits. And once you start to see that, you'll know what to do next. Just internally, you're going to know what to do. You don't even really have to call the show at that point because you already know that. It'll be around the first of the year that it does get better for you.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Thanks to both of you.
All right, for sure. Thanks for calling the show, Deep. We'll catch up with you real soon. Take care, and until next time.
Sure, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right, so we have Dion here on the line who's listening to us, one of our subscribers. We'll catch up with you in just a moment. You didn't have your hand up, so I don't think you have a question. If you do, be sure to put that up, and we'll take your call. And for everybody else who's watching us here on YouTube or Facebook or wherever you are in Cyberland, give us a call here on the show. We're at 563-999-3070 until 2 p.m. or Arizona or Mountain Standard Time. Now, Veretta, one of the things I wanted to bring up with you, like, that was a great call. So, Dee, thanks so much for giving us a call today on the show. This is one of the great things that we can do with Uranian astrology is the fact that, you know, damage control, that's, like, really we're specialists in is risk management, for the lack of a better term. That's really sort of what we are. We're consultants in terms of looking at this is the potential, this is the matrix of potential that you're born with. This is where you are today in terms of your soul's evolution. And based on that information and the choices that you're making, we can then advise you about what you can expect in the future based on that info of what you're putting in. Because remember that the universe is a co-creative process, that you can't just sit back and expect everything to happen. You do have to try a little bit because the world still happens around you. So if you're looking for good things to start happening, then, you know, you got to participate a little bit too. You got to throw that hat in that ring to get that to happen.
A little bit, anyhow. It is
right.
The momentum for our universe really is built on a continuum of energy. So yes, most definitely, we've got to be moving forward. We've got to be moving to move forward. So even though we don't want to try, sometimes it's what we got to do to make anything happen.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, so I mean, it's if I whenever I choose to do sedentary things, not a whole lot really comes from that. I would almost qualify that as living your life underneath a rock, just because we don't really do anything with those actions. You know, like I may be able to sit here on the computer and host this show or engage in a chat room or to play my game, but you know, what am I doing at the end of the day? I'm still sitting at a computer. Like there's not a whole lot of energy that was transferred on my end aside from, you know, just like absorbing whatever blue light that it is that's here.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. That's part of what we're running into, but have been conditioned, prone to have to do is sit isolated away from everybody or in our own little cubbies, you know, so we don't infect anything or get infected. Everything is so randomly different, which again is why we're here, for the variety of the random. We don't get that.
Well,
spirit.
I mean,
we don't get
you know, you make a good point. You remind me of, you know, like how they taught sex education in school. Their perspective was don't do it. And guess what happened? Mesa's public schools in those years had one of the highest rates of teen pregnancy in the country because we were taught don't do it, you know, and then they had this sign in the nurse's office that said, think anal sex hurts. Try having a baby. This is how they would gaslight us as children. It wasn't great. We really, us kids, we really totally slipped through the cracks in those years.
Well, and when I was in, probably 20, 30, let's see, you just turned 30. So 30 years prior, when I went through public education, they barely did have any kind of informative structure to the classes. They had to really be careful how they said what they said. So it was all about the function of the body, not how or why or when or what to be aware of or what to watch for. And so even over time now, we're not even in the same generation as far as public health and sex ed is concerned. The millennia of people now are in their own little world and categorizing their own little world to legitimize it, which means we just added another initial in the whole, you know, litany of LGBTQXYZ, R7 purple. I don't know. I mean, really, is there a reason that we have to categorize all these things from a spiritual perspective? We're coming into this realm. We're experiencing what we know. If what we know is different, it doesn't mean it's the only thing that's right. It just means that's what we know. And maybe if we're lucky, we'll find more out there like us. But right now, we're weird. We're different. We're odd. But it doesn't mean we're damaged, and it doesn't mean we have no good to put out there. So with the isolation and the withdrawal techniques and the methods that, you know, we use, who needs sex ed in classes? Because, I don't know, our procreation percentage has dropped already, basically. Our population growth has dropped. It'll be interesting in another 50 years exactly where we're at. And will we know at that point in time where we made our mistakes? Because we sure don't know now in the last 150, 200. There's a lot of changes being made, but there's a lot of regression. For heaven's sakes, we're stepping backwards in certain things that I would have thought we would have qualified for, you know, peace treaties and all this, where gun control, where narcissism runs rampant in our sociology. And a racism isn't even put to rest yet. So I weary that humanity is so slow, but I also know that it's going to get what it needs in the time frame that it gets it. And if that means it annihilates itself again and starts over, okay. So here we go. One more time. We're going to have to learn from scratch because we didn't get it the first 14,000 times. Literally.
Well, I mean, and also, you know, like it'll be interesting what happens in the future, because they say in 50 years we will be able to choose if we want to be male or female, that the whole trans movement is just going to blow up to such an extent that when new souls are born into the world, if they want to gender flip, they can do that. And I'm sure that there will be an option for that, you know, that there's like special programs, and I don't know, it's a whole bunch of like sci-fi stuff that really kind of gets scary. But unfortunately, the state of the world.
Right. And the perk to that would be that if we're so advanced in that moment, then there must have been a conclusive, patented, marketed, and distributed cure for the things that we don't have cures for now. Cancer, to some degree. You know, diabetes. The things that we can't get past at this point in our evolution. If we're to the point of choosing our own sex, we better be to the point of determining whether we want to stay in the body or not, longevity, and whether or not we can fix it. I wouldn't want to be here. I don't have any inclination to want to try to find myself in another 100 years in this body down the road with humanity the way it is now. Although I'm not ready to check out in that because it'd be too soon. I know that whatever I'm supposed to do isn't over yet. And I know better. And I feel like everybody has a part to play. And if we just get to play in it, whatever that may be, instead of sitting saying, no, 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 I don't want to do it that way. And if that's all you're going to offer me, then I'm not going to do it, which is a choice, which is a choice to experience in this reality. Then so be it. Then you keep coming back until you decide, okay, well, maybe that's what I need to do, and I'll get with it, and I'll do it, and oh, my God, it wasn't so bad anyway. And actually, when I actually headed toward it, I didn't have to do it at all. What happened with that? So in this realm, in this dimension, we are learning slowly as humans how to define ourselves. And hopefully we're going to morph into the position of be the best we can be, which means helping everyone and being of service to others, instead of randomly deciding that we should rule the world because we know better and more than anybody else in it how it should be done. And so therefore we're going to amass an army and try to do it and continue to fight over the land that there's only so much of. In the reality of there's no more to be made. So we need to be happy with what we've got and learn to perfect that before we go and conquer anything more or others. So this reality is fun if you let it be. And I'm letting it be, but I don't want to live in it forever.
Well, and, you know, like for me as somebody who is just straight up not a fan of reality at all, you know, like I'm beginning to realize through this whole process of, you know, cleaning myself out internally that maybe the secret of why I don't like reality is because I don't spend enough time in it. You know, like I'm starting to wonder, like all of those things that I've been avoiding my entire life, what happens if I run towards them with open arms and actually work on those aspects of myself? Or, you know, like what happens if I just keep my feet planted in reality and keep working in this regard, avoiding all of those amorphous, you know, types of things that I can't touch, that really Neptunian energy, like gambling, for example, digital prizes with no real world value that happens in cell phone games all the time. That's one of my big interests, is that by pulling myself out of these activities and getting more into the physical realm of, you know, like walking, about reading, you know, even that doesn't even have to do with computers, that reality becomes easier to stand and tolerate because you realize that everything is beautifully screwed up in its own way and that this mm-hmm. is the way it's meant to be. But, you know, at the same time, like that fantasy land that I'm so used to spending my time in, that's its own flavor. That's its own feeling. That's its own space. But I don't have to spend time in that because, you know, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm being called to be present right now. And like, I even believe like somewhere in metaphysics along the way, I've even read something that like that cancer is a disease or an illness that's caused by when the body disconnects from the soul, or like you detach from the physical plane or something like that, something very freaky. I don't remember what the specifics of it, but I've gotten into the practice of, let's start to appreciate this world for what it is, even though I don't like that. What happens if I try that? Maybe it'll make the whole process of getting clean easier, so that there's not this whole, you know, this feeling of I'm going to scale this mountain, which is a gauntlet that I don't think I'm capable of.
Right. And it's really, that's not the necessity. If getting clean for you is being clear, not, you know, capable of scaling mountains. And the clarity of understanding why it is that you don't even want to try to scale the mountain is what you'll benefit from being clear, right? You don't even beat yourself up anymore. Well, you know, if I were in a different body, I could do that. No, you're not going to do it. Your brain isn't even going to be there. When we try to escape from the reality that we are in, then we just basically dig a bigger hole of the non-reality until we realize that, like you're saying just a few seconds ago, the weirdness of cancer is determinant on something that you have no control over, yet you are ultimately the only one that has control over it. Now, if that isn't an oxymoron, I don't know. The reality of it is you're set in stone here only to the pace that you let it set, which means if you believe it will be, it will be. If you believe it won't be, it won't be. The only thing that trumps that rule is what was preset prior to you getting here. And free will can trump that if you should go off the rails and decide to get hammered one night and kill yourself. So there are so many things. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
There are so many things that are a given and a rule, yet it's ultimately led or done by free will, which is not structured whatsoever, nor limited. That's why we can take ourselves out, even though we're not supposed to.
Well, you know, like I was, you know, I sometimes I'll run through like really evil thoughts in my mind because my chart is extremely dark. You know, there is some really great potential to do some extremely messed up things to other people. And, you know, fortunately, I can say that I've gone through all of those issues in prior lifetimes, so I don't have to really work that out. But there is always, you know, that inkling in the back of my mind, like, what if this happens? Like, what if I just decided to go on a rampage and just, you know, cause mass chaos and destruction, which I know I'm capable of. But I don't do that. I do that up in my mind, like, as if it's, you know, like a daydream fantasy in a movie type thing, and then I snap to it and come back into reality. It's like it takes me away for just a few seconds, and that's it. And that's where I leave it, because, you know, like, a lot of the darkness that exists in my mind, I have to vent and express through just like creative writing, through screenwriting, through those types of activities. That's why I'm so into that, is because it's an outlet or event for me to, you know, channel that difficult energy, so I don't have to actually act it out. When I was in my 20s, that would manifest as bowling. Like, that was something that I took up very seriously, was, you know, like, don't think about, you know, killing my dad. Just picture his face on every single one of those bowling pins, and then I'd knock them all down. And I was actually pretty damn good in those years of my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was therapy, you know, that literally was what you utilized to cope and get by. It didn't make you a bad person. It made you someone realistic, understanding enough of your situation that you needed to vent. And that was how, and, you know, we have our own vices. We also have our own vents. And you used it as literally a good escape of energy. And that was perfect. That was perfect for you.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's people that just want to vent and complain about everything and how it's not going well for them, you know, like, and we all know who these people are. We've run into them, and you try to be reasonable and provide, you know, an actionable plan and say, well, you know, let's challenge your thoughts and say, maybe if you do this other thing, then you'll get different results. It's like that family member that nobody likes, that everybody thinks is rude, that they're a jerk. And it's really the fact that it's not the fact that they're a jerk. It's the fact that they don't want to work on themselves or change it at all. And that's why their entire family hates them.
Oh, I thought you were going to be talking about me there for a minute, and I was going to be that kind of person that nobody liked. But it wasn't because I didn't want to work on myself. It was because I wasn't going to lie and sugarcoat and pussyfoot around the truth. And when I saw something happen, I said it. I didn't play. And then, of course, that made me the black sheep of the family because, oh, you know, I don't. But, you know, anytime anybody in my family needed help, I was the first one they'd call because they knew I could step up to the game, and it didn't matter what the situation was. I could always provide. So,
but then when when you and I decide to hold people's feet to the fire and hold them accountable for their screwed up actions, you know, then suddenly we become the enemy, that we're this big scary dragon that hates life and them and everybody else because we are not willing to coddle their snowflake ego and, you know, make them feel better about their terribleness. And when we're really just trying to get people to do the right thing, and that's viewed as bad because of the snowflake society culture that we live in, it really upsets me. It makes me mad on a regular basis how, you know, everybody's just turned into such little pansies. I can't handle it sometimes. So it's interesting when we're dealing with, like, those types of people, and you really can't get through to them. Like, it doesn't matter how hard you try or any other people in their environment. They say that you cannot destroy energy, but in this case, you know, I really just kind of think that those people, they're just going to have to check out and learn the hard way when their screams are stretched out for eons and from the beyond.
Well, and the reality is the minute they check out, the minute you leave this realm and you are determined to stay in spirit and ethers, you look at everything that you've just come through, and you are the one that overall does the judging as to whether or not you messed up. And so therefore you have to look at and be held accountable and or decide right away how you're going to try to rectify that situation if there's something that needs to be done. So it doesn't end here. It goes on to the ethers if you can't get it here, then okay, no worries. You're going to have another turn to try, or a few hundred, depending upon really how dense you are. So it's that.
You know, and here's the secret about alchemy that nobody considers. I hate you, right? Like, we say that in our mind, or we say that out loud to somebody. For every million, you know, for every bajillion times that somebody says, I hate you out loud or in their mind, we create an Adolf Hitler. Like, that's really, it's truly what happens. You know, like, our thoughts create these evil people out in the world. All of the screwed up politicians and everybody else that we just don't like right now, that's all created by us, you know, humanity, the collective. Whenever we go through these processes and our thoughts, that's what's creating them. So I'm not saying that we have to, you know, minimize our emotions or turn those feelings off, but just letting you know that that is what we create by through our thought process.
Well, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And so when you take that to science, which you're versed in, you look at things that were done. There was a Dr. Emoto that, have you ever heard of the water experiment?
Yes. Uh-huh. Right.
Okay. So Dr. Emoto proved that emotion was carried in thought. Therefore, it could create, and it could create its own diversity depending upon whether it was continuously fed. And so that's a proven point. But that is not something that everybody knows about, which I think should be one of those mainstream, let's get that on the news, let's make a big TV show out of it, and let's don't just keep it to the documentary sci-fi channel. Let's throw it in school and prove to children that, indeed, for a fact, if we thought that we hated something, it would indeed affect that individual that it hated. And then it would also probably, you know, like you said, create a Hitler out there. We would not want to promote that type of thought in any type of welfare being. And by that I mean, when you get to the point where you're factual about who you are, whether you're mean, whether you're bitter, whether you're rude, whether you're argumentative, if you know all of that about you, and you're not, if you're not blatantly in someone's face, space, room, whatever, about it, then you can be honest and not continue to rack up the negativity. But what you'll find is as your thoughts soften, so does your mode, and your tone of mind continues to perpetuate the easy. And when you're not mad and carrying a grudge or being hostile because somebody made you mad for whatever reason, you will see that the progression of what you get, the response to that positive energy soliciting by the need for you to have calm and copacetic, recreates your brain, and you stop thinking the mean. You stop thinking the hate. You stop thinking that I want you to die because you didn't do it my way sort of routine. You go to that point of saying, oh, okay, we've got an impasse. There's no point lighting a fire over this. It's not a hill to die on. Walk away. I don't have to have my needs met over yours because, honestly, I'm no more entitled or deserving unless it's a physical requirement and I demand sustenance of some sort, then that will dictate what is priority on whose needs are met first or as a priority in the long term. You don't continue to perpetuate the hate. You just get to the point where it is what it is. Can you get down? Will you get depressed? Do you get tired? Yeah, you get all that. But you also can get spontaneously happy and regress from feeling fear and worry and the what ifs. And that is such a waste of time. There is nothing accomplished in the thought pattern of worry other than perpetuating what you do not want to have. And so when people say, and this is what cracks me up, this is one of the first things I learned early on, when people say, I will never, or that's not going to be me, or if it were me, that's almost a dare, a bet, a threat, a challenge to spirit, to God, to whatever, the universe, to bring you that very thing in which you deny, because you need to learn to get over it, extreme attitude. And by that I mean, you do not have to like being beat up to say, I will never be beat up, because you'll find yourself in a corner getting the shit beat out of you before you know it and wonder how you got there when you said you'd never let it happen. Well, you just learned you could let it happen only because you didn't have any choice. You learn not to say never. You learn to perpetuate the serene. You learn to be happy with the what is, and if you don't like it, change it. And if you don't want to change it, then be in that place of understanding that it will bring you what you need, whether you like it or not. The universe is a funny thing.
And if you're the type of person that attracts what you manifest, like, you know, like everybody who's on this phone line, pretty much, we have to be really careful about what we say. If you pay attention to any of our Wednesday shows, it's hysterical sometimes. Like, I'll talk about a certain type of consumer or a certain type of phone call that we get, you know, in terms of doing readings and that kind of thing. And then, you know, we talk about the frustration that's associated with that particular type or trope or whatever. And then every single phone call that we take in that show is of that nature. And it's just hysterical. Like, we say that we can't get through to people, that they don't want to listen, that they're too focused on their own things. And then every single person that we talk to is, you know, just like, you know, I really don't know how else to spin this to you, but we're just not getting through. It's really funny how we do that. So now on our Wednesday shows, you know, I have to kind of be a little bit cautious and afraid on my own part about like the thoughts that I put out there into the universe, because that's going to be almost a 100% chance, at least 90% anyway, that we're going to get those types of calls that day.
Yeah. And that most definitely is another one of those things. You know, you just wait a little while, prove it yourself, and it'll take place. It's funny.
So let me see here. Let's get off to Dion. I know you're just listening to us right now, and we'll just catch up with you. Dion, are you there on the line with us? Can you hear us?
Hi.
Hey, so Dion, you were talking about moving to Florida recently. How did that all work out? Because I know that they've had like some really crazy stuff going on over there recently.
Yeah, you know what, though? I can sell impact windows. So, and I wasn't planning on living in the areas that got hit by the hurricane. So for me, it's just an opportunity for me to make some money down there. What my obstacles were was getting ready to get on the road. So, like, my dog was sick. Now he's on the mend. I had to sell my winter car. Sold that, like, 10 days ago. Then the last thing that I had to do, basically, was to move this marble dining room table that weighed like 500 pounds. And I finally donated that piece yesterday. So as far as I'm concerned, now the rest is just, I mean, the trip is happening. I am still moving. It just took me a little longer to be able to cut all the anchors so I could fly. But pretty much any day now.
Well, I'm so glad you missed all of that whole maelstrom of storms and everything. I was really worried about you, because I know that this is something we've talked about in the past, and I just wanted to make sure that you weren't involved in any of that craziness right before it happened.
No, and you know what? Okay, so that was I always said I was going to go to the Atlantic side, and I'm going south of Miami. Which, yeah, I mean, anytime you move to Florida, you have to know that, you know, it's hurricane prone. So, like, that was another thing I had to do, was unload most of the valuables. I mean, stuff that you can't take with you for an evacuation, right? I mean, you can't move down there and not expect that could happen. I mean, I'm being pretty smart about it. So I realize that. But at the same time, you know, that creates jobs down there. I do have a window business, and I do have a supplier for impact windows, and they do need them down there. So I am starting to advertise those for sale. And then I also applied to work with FEMA. So thank you for your concern. I know, I'm really lucky like that. We're like, I miss tragedies. But I've had my own tragedies, so I really don't need any more tragedies. But, you know, it's like, and the second book that I'm writing, the sequel, I started advertising that. I'm up to the third chapter, working with the editor on that. So I'm doing everything I can do to move myself forward, including being open to opportunities, people, places, anything that's going to align me. But yeah, I mean, the trip is still happening. It's just a matter of the last, oh my God, the people that I donated the table to, because I'm like, I don't want any money for it, blah, blah, blah. And him and his son, they said, well, when you're ready to pack your U-Haul, call us and we're going to load it for you. So I even got movers out of the deal.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, Dion, I'm just taking a look at some stuff right now for you on your chart, because this is just what we do, or at least this is what I do. Is I can't talk to somebody without reading their chart, especially on this show. So speaking about this in terms of like you, like really be quite aggressive and don't be afraid to with the window stuff. I mean, this is a perfect time for you. Like you've got this chart that, you know, yeah, tragedy happens, but you know what? You also benefit from it too at the same time. In a really positive way, like there is always some silver lining to unfortunate circumstances in your life. And the silver lining in this case is factual. It's the fact that, you know, Florida homeowners insurance is a cesspool at the moment. And that's really not great for a lot of people. So they're extremely hungry and, you know, like ready to do something like, you know, those windows that you're talking about. So this is something that I think that if you market this the right way, that you're going to get a lot of responses from it, especially since, you know, people are wanting to clean up and sort of renovate after all this destruction and damage. And the season's not even over yet. Like it could still go through the end of November from what they're predicting. So I really feel like that you would benefit from that with the window stuff right now and pushing that along. So don't be afraid, you know, if you think that I'm just pushing too hard, there is no such thing as pushing too hard right now, like because you will benefit from it in a big way.
Sweet. And the other thing I wanted to add, too, is I'm finally at peace with my situation, like knowing that I'm leaving the Midwest and I'm not coming back. Because when I move down there, I'm staying down there. I'm not coming back. And I had to find a way to heal my relationship with my family, not in a way that we were going to sit down and have lunch or anything like that, but I'm talking like on the spiritual level where I'm no longer carrying around ill will or hatred or anger or grief. And it took me a long time to get to this spot.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of myself that I finally realized that, you know, like I had to cease relationship with a window company on Friday. But when I did that, normally my old self would have been like, oh man, that's such a loss. Now what are you going to do? And this and that. But this time I don't feel like the things that I'm selling or giving up or not carrying relationships on, they're not a loss to me at this point. At this point, it's like moving old energy out of the way to allow for the new energy. Because again, my new life is going to cost me my old one. And it's not that I felt like I was getting in my way, but I was definitely going out of my way to maybe not get to the destination. But either way, I'm in a good place personally at this point, and I'm ready for something new. And so now I feel like it's all falling into place because, like I said, the heavy energy is gone out of my life.
Good for you. Good for you. And so when you hit that new, you're going to be building that life based on what you need in that moment. And it won't have anything to do with the old anything. You're going to recreate just from a clean slate, a whole clean
clearer picture of what you believe and what you want, what you see yourself becoming in the whole nine yards.
And thank you.
It really is going to bring a lot of, well, it's kind of going to be overwhelming too. I'll tell you that. It's going to, like Ernesto was saying, you're going to rock it on the business aspect of it. It may be almost overwhelming. So part of what you may be experiencing when you get there is reestablishing networks, reestablishing connections of resources. So probably why you're not feeling so bad about losing the connection to this window company, because you kind of in the background know you're going to have ample. It's not, they're going to call you. It's not going to be you wanting for anything.
Mm-hmm.
More
I'm
labor,
listening. Sorry.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just saying you're going to do very well, and it will bring ultimately a lot of choice, and it's a necessity. You'll have to make decisions based on the supply and demand and what you can bring and the whole nine yards. You're going to have a lot to consider because you'll have a lot going on. In a positive manner.
Yeah, you're good, Dion. You're going to be really impressed and probably somewhat surprised, taken aback by how positive things are going to be going for you in the next 12 months. This is really a nice time. This is sort of like, you know, when good fortune is like sending blessings on your face, you know, that whole, or however they phrase that in terms of religion, you know, that whole thing. Like, this is going to be your year where you're going to have some really nice things that are going to come to you. And you know what, the biggest thing of all is going to be the fact that you're going to move. You're really, and we've talked about that, this is going to be your new environment, your new chapter in life. This is absolutely coming to you right now. So, you know, never at any point do I want you to feel bad or, you know, guilty about yourself about that. You know, like, things are going really well for me, but everybody in my environment's really burning up and suffering right now. Well, that's okay. You stay in your own lane. You know, you take care of yourself, because, Dion, this is really, I think you're really going to like what you're going to be seeing in this new environment. So be prepared to be swept by the undercurrent of positive change, and don't be shocked when it takes you into a new direction that you weren't expecting. Just keep rolling with the river. You're going to be really happy with that.
Dang, I'm glad I called in to listen to your show today. Thank you for all the positive messages. I also realized for the first time, and this took a lot, and I can't believe it took me so long to get here, but now I'm realizing why it's so important that when they say the power is in the present moment, mm-hmm. and that it's okay to be selfish, because I spent the better part of my life making other people wealthy, working for other people, helping everybody else. But now I'm doing what Dion needs to do that only Dion can do for Dion. And I feel like when you were just speaking just now, you just gave me the chills, because it was like aligning with my current energy. And I mean, I might not be the fastest person to relocate down to Florida, but I'm enjoying the journey at the same time. Like, I don't feel the need to rush anything or to push myself past my comfort zone. I am moving forward, and I'm just proud of the fact that I'm even here at this moment. So I thank you so much, the both of you, for your encouragement and your predictions. And you know that I'm going to be calling you with updates.
Yeah, for sure.
I really appreciate you.
Yeah, we love having you on the show. Dion, do us one better. Be sure to go out to YouTube or BTR, or wherever it is that you're watching the show, and give us a like and leave us a comment. We'd love to hear that feedback.
Yeah, I can do that for sure. I'll do that today.
Okay, perfect. Right. Well, it was great to have you on the show. I'm so glad we caught up today. So be sure to give us a call back and let us know how it's going.
Okay, namaste.
Take care.
Namaste.
Until next time. Okay, and we are going to get up to our next call here from area code 415. Hi, you're on the Uranus Happen Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Hi, I've called in once before. My name is Anne.
922-67 at 415. p.m., right?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. I got you now. And would you like a general reading today, or do you have a question about an issue?
Yeah, just short term. I've gone through a lot of changes in 6 months and a lot of moving around. And so I'm looking for things by the end of the year, things settling down.
Okay, perfect. All right. Veretta, what you got?
Okay. What I'm seeing happen is you'll have opportunity to make a decision here very shortly.
Right.
That means you may be on the move again. However, if you don't choose to go now, it's fine. You will later. If you don't choose to go now, you will later. It's almost the timing is on you as to when, and that will dictate how.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, I'm not just seeing, this doesn't just have to do with a place to live per se. I think it has a lot to do with everything, you know, the economy, yeah, a place to live, whether you can afford it, whether things stay the same when you get there, after you get there, the whole nine yards. I think you've had a lot of experience, almost like a lifetime, probably literally, to varying degrees, of that kind of thing, where circumstance has rooted you right out of where you thought you were secure. So I think you have one more little bit of time before you are going to be where you're going to be for a bit. And that structure is going to be security. It's going to have everything, financial, you know, everything that you would require for it to be what you would like it to be will be there, will be present.
Wonderful.
Okay. So, again, you're going to get there. You're going to get there. It's on you as to go, you know, you can go, you can try to go now and then be sure you're going to have to make another move, or you can be okay for a little while and then go and then know that that second attempt is going to get you where you're going to stay. Now, having that been said, let's see what Ernesto has to say, because he could probably give you a lot more clarity with detail.
Okay, so, and the question that you're asking today is about a move. Now, the question that I have for you is, this move that you're looking at, does this have anything to do with other people? Will you be moving into like a community or a compound or something along those lines?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no plan.
Not if she can help it. Not if she can help it. She'd like to do her own thing. She'd like to be okay. Not necessarily solo, but not dependent upon the goodwill of others. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And so that's
right.
What she's looking for.
Okay, so something that's on her own.
Yeah.
Okay, so
there are a lot of places that are like a mother-in-law. You know, like people make a little separate unit on the side of their house. I'm fine with that. You know,
yeah, that's
you know,
fine.
It's kind of a combination of next to people, and but you still have your independent space.
Right.
Yeah, because I definitely get the sense that there is some move energy that's involved here for you. It will probably be out of state, like long distance is where you're looking at. So it's not going to be anything nearby. But what I will say is that this is probably going to be the last major move that you'll go through. This is going to be a place where you'll land probably till the end of time. And also, by the way, don't resist whatever location that you know that you're being drawn towards. Don't resist it, regardless of how gross it may seem, because that's your destiny. You're supposed to be there, wherever that's going to be. So, you know, and just a general rule of life is that the more we tend to fight something, the more that things tend to get difficult for us. So I would tend to think that, like, the move is going to be caused by, like, something – by somebody in your environment, like somebody that you know more than likely a family member has like some, you know, a guest house or a mother-in-law place kind of thing, situation where you could get into possibly even having the entire basement of a home with your own private entry type of thing. You're going to do something that's going to be on your own. But I want to say that that's going to be caused by somebody else in your family, or possibly even, you know, somebody else at church, if that's something that you do, whatever type of spiritual or religious group that you may subscribe to, that there's going to be connections in that environment that would open up for you.
Okay.
All right. So, now, as far as, and like I said, I do think that this is going to be the, this is going to be the place for you that you're going to end up. And
but I, in the short term, I need something in the next like couple of weeks, because I've been over the summer, I've been and fall, I've been long term house sitting, and so now, over the holidays, I don't really want to do that. Or, you know, it's just different now. It's just only over Thanksgiving or only over Christmas week. So I'm looking for something, you know, like a 3-month lease or something like that, or, you know, something for the, till the end of the year to have a home base. I'm looking for at least a home base for the winter.
Okay,
for three, you know,
right. So, for right now, you will find that, and I want to say that like this month is going to be the time to get that handled. Like if that's something you really got to take care of now, then do it right. Then do it at this moment. Like tomorrow, like even go out and start looking at things. Like you're in a really hot time for doing something like that, like moving. Just temporary, nothing big. The big move, that's probably going to be down the line in the future. But for right now, for your immediate concern, definitely look for something at this time. And, you know, or even, you know, like I would also say that if you did some other types of house sitting assignments that were more long term, if that was of interest to you, you would also benefit from this that type of work financially. So that would kill two birds with one stone, in case if you could get that to happen. So take a look to see what other types of places, you know, maybe even there's, I don't know where you are in the country, but if you're still in the Seattle area, you know, maybe there is even something in like Vancouver or something nearby where you could just get by with a temporary visa stay. I just feel like that there's big money to be made with house sitting again, and that's also going to resolve the living situation. So I would be more inclined to look towards that type of work as opposed to doing some other, you know, like going off and doing your own thing with the lease and all of that stuff.
Yes. Since Washington State, I've been down in New Mexico and Colorado. So I did make one big move already down to the Southwest.
And did you like it? Are you thinking about going back?
No, I'd to visit, but I wouldn't go back to Washington State.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I gotcha. So, I would look for those temporary assignments that are more long term. You know, like my astrology teacher was a school teacher, and she said that she only got, you know, she only took long term sub assignments. You know, like people that were on maternity leave and never came back. That those were always great job security. I think if you could do something similar to that in the house setting realm, that you would be extremely happy. And not only that, but it would also give you a lot more of the finances that you would need to get yourself into that better place and that long distance move that's more of in alignment of what you want, as opposed to something that's just being kind of forced on you that you're not too sure about but still leaves a bad taste in your mouth, but you go along with it anyway because it's all that you got. The house sitting would allow you to put your fate more into your own hands as far as the big move is concerned in the future.
Okay. How you're saying that all the other long move would come up probably an opportunity of someone I know or a family member.
Right. Yeah. Or like somebody from your church or something like that. That's going to be where that opportunity will come up, but that'll be more in the future. The house sitting is what you need to focus on right now. You know, Reddit is my personal favorite social media network. It's like one of the most helpful things I've ever discovered on the internet. So I'm sure that there's a subreddit for house sitting or something like that, and all of those people, all of these people out there, they can also give you great resources about like websites that are legitimate that you can check out. So
I use two companies already, so I know the companies that you can work with.
Well, there's also secret ones that you may not know about. That's going to give you more like, come house at my New York City penthouse for 6 months because I'm going to go to Europe, kind of thing. So like that would be something that would be exciting and probably somewhat hard to find. Like there aren't too many places where you can list that type of thing. So I would use Reddit as a resource for getting into more of those secret types of listings that are really good.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it was great to have you on the show. And be sure to give us a call back and let us know how it turns out. We'll catch up with you real soon.
Okay.
Take care and until next time. Okay, and we are going to get out to our caller from area code 956. Hi, you're on the Uranus After Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Tony, November 13th, 75.
November 13th of 75. All right, got it. And at what time were you born?
I believe it was 7 or 8 of p.m.
Okay, got it. And where were you born?
Brownsville, Texas.
Okay, perfect. And Tony, would you like a general reading today, or do you have a question about an issue?
I guess I would just love, I know you have a lot of callers, but I guess finance, like right now I've been a little bit tight with money, so I don't know, maybe I want to focus on that.
Okay, sure. Let's take a look at that. Loretta, what you got?
Okay. So, it's really part... Okay, so part of what you're dealing with is not you in relation to that aspect of money being a hardship. And what I'm seeing is that there's some kind of pushback on your end that's going to have to happen once you get it, or before you get it to a point to where you can withstand whatever it is that is happening, like you get a buffer zone built up or something. So what I'm seeing is it will get better, but it may get worse emotionally. Not literally, but emotionally. Mm-hmm. And then once you have it pretty much under control as far as whatever got you there to begin with, you won't go back. You won't play that game anymore. You won't let that happen. It's not going to be an option. Now, I don't think, I get that there is some change that needs to be, but I don't get that it's going to be something you have to stretch yourself very far out to have happen. So even though you would think, no, I really don't want to do X, Y, Z, you're not really going to have to. I really feel like there'll be something else that you will be doing and can do that will make ends meet and make it work. Now, I'm going to turn it over to Ernesto because I think he'll probably give you an idea of when you're looking at things to get different or better. And maybe
I am. I have a job interview on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so that probably will work. That most likely is going to be what's going to bail you out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be okay.
I hope so. It's like you said, it's really becoming
a
headache for me.
Yeah, I bet. And you're going to have an adult conversation with whomever or whatever it is that's creating a deficit.
I guess I am for my bad spending habits, that I've never been in this situation before. I just,
Not all you.
Yeah, I guess it's
not all
you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ernesto, can you give her something?
Sure. Let me take a look here. Tony, so your question is about money. Now, to give you an accurate, full picture about money, I'd really need to know the exact moment of birth because that does concern your meridian. So I'm going to look at some other stuff here just to kind of fill in the picture. So what I can tell you about your money is that are a lot of your problems with finances caused by a, you just stated, caused by a family member, right?
No, by myself. I would say by myself.
Oh,
my
it's
own.
Caused by yourself. Okay. All right.
So.
Are you thinking about moving right now?
Just work, I would say that's about it.
Okay, because I really get the sense that like there is somebody, there is a family member that like is really sort of causing this financial drain on your part. Like I don't know if, and it may not even necessarily be a financial drain. It could just be an energy drain, to where you know what, whatever it is that you're doing, it, somebody else is requiring you to give so much of yourself that it's causing damage in other ways, especially having to do with your finances or possibly even your own livelihood, like the state of your mental health, as Greta was just talking about. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like...
Is
your husband creating financial difficulty for you right now?
Possibly. He makes more money than what I do.
But I also feel like that your husband is forcing you to give too much of yourself, and that's kind of what's causing the problem.
I'm sorry?
I feel like that your husband is forcing you to give too much of yourself, and that's also creating a problem here for you. Yes. So as far as the new job is concerned, I feel like that the new job is going to be tremendous. This is going to be absolutely what you need to fix a lot of problems, but it's not necessarily going to be a fix. If anything, what's going to happen if you were to get hired today and you started this new job and make this new income, you're going to end up with bigger problems of where you are right now because we've done nothing to address the gangrenous wound that's causing it. So what you're going to have to do, Tony, is you're going to have a conversation with him and yourself. You're both going to have to sit down together and, you know, plan out your finances and say, so this is what we make every month. This is all of the frivolous spending that we can do. This is the entertainment that we enjoy. You know, these are the things that we like. And here's where we are right now. Here's where we're in trouble. You know, like this is, so what is it that we can cut off that's not helping us? That's going to make the situation better, because if you get into a new job, all that's going to happen is you're just going to spend more, and it's going to create a bigger problem
to where I
have more debt that I can't handle.
No, I'm not. There's no way. I don't like being in debt. This is the first time I'm like, kind of like my head is like spinning on this, you know, but I tell myself no. That if I get a better paying job, I pay my bills. So it was, I guess I did it to myself. I should have watched my spending, and I didn't. So now I'm kind of like in a bind, you know, because I could always say no, and, you know, and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm just kind of like, my only option is just to get something more, better paying, in other words, that I feel it's going to get me, because I already made up my mind that I'm going to pay what I'm going to pay, you know, and that's it. And hopefully
I get
my tax mm-hmm. return, I'll pay, you know, stay with nothing and just pay off the debt.
Well, you know, that is true to an extent, but you know what your chart's really sort of saying here is that you have to address issues with responsibility when it comes to money. That this is something that's been ignored, because, you know, like, it's a common fallacy that a lot of people think, oh, if I have money, then, you know, I'm going to bring myself out of poverty. Everything fixes itself, right? That's a fallacy. Like, we're lied to believe that that's the way that it is. The real way that we get ourselves out of it is by controlling our own actions and addressing the core issues that are causing the problem. And it looks like that's not been done. So the new job is just going to create bigger debt. It's going to create bigger problems unless if you sit down and have that conversation as a family, as a unit, and say, you know what, this is what we have to do, because we created this situation, and I don't feel good about myself because of what because because of what's going on here. And if, you know, and if I'm going to do this new job and make this better for ourselves so we can create a life together, then this is going to be how it's going to go down. You know, like we're going to put 20% of every single check into an IRA or a savings or whatever it is, however it is you're going to manage that. You know, like by actually just putting your foot down and establishing those boundaries, that's what you got to do here. Because,
so,
I mean, if you don't, then it's just going to get harder.
We did talk about it because he, when I married him, he already had his debt, just a hefty amount of debt that he had. So he does pay most of the mortgage. I only give like $500. Which is, you know, kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I just, yeah, them what I do. But I just purchased a home, and that, you know, most of my income went in there. And, of course, the home needed repairs. And throughout along there, a situation happened that there was an issue with plumbing. So, you know, a little debt like that. That it's unexpected debt that you use credit cards, that you didn't have the amount of money. So I was the only other thing, well, I'm just, and then I had a very good paying job, and then I got fired from it. So that didn't help. So I ended up with another, where I'm at right now, which it's just not enough to what I was making, not even close. So hopefully the new job that I apply for is a little bit more money, more income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that the new job, the new job definitely provides the income and the money that you're looking for. And it's those behavior issues that you need to address. So, like, just remember that you're when you start working and making, you know, these new dollar figures, this new income, that keep, just make sure that you keep afloat and keep an eye on all of the red flags, because you will start to see when things are slipping and you got to catch yourself. Never let yourself do something that you think is a bad idea, because, you know, like you say, oh, well, I have to have this, but I'm going to charge it because, right, because this is what I can afford. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. You know, like, do you have holes in your roof? Is there rain leaking through? You know, if that's not happening, then it's not necessary. You know, like, if you haven't eaten in 5 days, okay, then maybe that might be something you need to have. But other than that, you know, like, all of this extra stuff is just frivolous and it's damaging to you and your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to cut it off and just say, no, I'm not doing this. Because, like, we were even saying before that, you know, like, if I choose to smoke a cigarette today and tomorrow and every day after that, in 10 years, it's going to be that much harder to quit than if I decided to give it up today.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, same thing applies here with the financial spending, is I'm going to be responsible with myself and, you know, and my financial future by saying no. And by saying no, I feel empowered and I feel strong that I can do this, because I know that this is within the realm of my control. So remember that there is power in saying no, and that we don't have to feel coerced into doing anything at any time. So this is good. I think that the new job is really going to start, will really truly instill these lessons. And if they don't, you're going to be prepared to learn things the hard way. I would hope that it's the first case, though.
Me.
So, yeah.
I've been in debt before, but I got myself out. I bought my home on my own. So I'm pretty responsible with things. I try to be, because I was a single parent, so I had to be. But this time it's like I mean, I have nobody to blame because I'm my own person. And I could, like you said, I could always say no, but I, you know, I didn't. So now I'm in this, in the, pay off everything in a year if I apply myself. I'm paying only what I have to pay, and like you mentioned, frivolous spending, because I look at myself like I don't need a lot of stuff. I always tell myself, like, I have a roof over my head, I have a vehicle to go to work to, you know, got food on my table, and that's all that matters. Everything else is not, you know, it's not important as long as I have a roof over my head for me, myself, and my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all
I'm
thinking.
You will be this will be okay, an okay time for you, though. Like, money wise, it will absolutely get better. This is going to be a year when you're going to be having some great things that happen, but it's really going to be dependent on your personal choices. So, you know, I do wish you the very best in this whole process, Tony. But just want to let you know that you will pull through this. You will prevail through this situation that you're going through right now.
Thank you.
Britta, is there anything else that you wanted
you.
To add?
I think so too.
No, I think she's got a pretty clear idea of what's coming her way, so I don't think there's anything more she needs.
Okay,
thank
for
you
sure.
Very
all right.
Much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Positive to hear that.
It was great to have you on the show, Tony. I know that you're new to us, so be sure to subscribe, like, and share, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Take care. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. And, Veretta, it looks like that is everybody for today. We've gone through our call queue,
okay.
So we'll end the show a little bit early. We will be back with you guys on – we're going to be changing our Sunday format, and that's going to go to a Saturday now. And we were going to do Saturday at 10 o'clock. Was that what we decided?
11.
No, 11. 11, yeah. So we're going to be doing Saturdays at 11 o'clock. That'll be our two-hour show. And the next time we'll be back with you guys will be Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the evening, as we always are with you guys. We want to thank all of our guests and all of our callers and our subscribers for coming out with us tonight to listen to the Uranus Happens show. As always, it was real, but it does get better. So we will catch up with you guys on Wednesday night for our next show for a one-hour program. Remember, for all other things Uranian astrology, be sure to go out to eastrologer.tv. You can find Veretta at verettavision.com. And be sure to subscribe, like, and share. Thanks so much, everybody. We will catch up with you guys real soon. And Veretta, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. It's always been a pleasure.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed very much. Take care.
Take care, everybody. Have a great week. Catch up with you later. Good luck and Godspeed.